Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
And it is time, once again, do not go anywhere. We are in the middle of a Code Delicious, ready to perform a little culinary CPR with my cohort in crime, Chef Luca Paris. Chef Luca is nationally renowned celebrity chef, Concord Food Network, but unlike a lot of chefs there, he can actually cook, successful restaurateur. The list goes on and on. He goes around the country teaching people not only how to eat something that's delicious, but his style of cooking is just really, really has a healthful flair to it. And so I am delighted once again to welcome my friend and cohort, Chef Luca Paris. Thanks for being on again, buddy.
Hey, Doc, it's a pleasure. Missed you last week, but I'm excited. I think we have a real fun show this week, or fun half hour of talking springtime. And this is my favorite time of the year because that's when I start seeing these things pop up. And in the Northeast, that's when our farmers markets really start gearing up, where we start seeing, we're going to talk a little bit about peas and pea shoots, and we're going to, you know, you get to start getting the asparagus coming out. It's Easter time. I start thinking lamb. I couldn't think of something more exciting to talk about than lamb and peas and what we're going to do today. So I'm pretty pumped.
And I love that. Yeah. And as always, you know, I went through the recipe. Absolutely delicious. I mean, the melding of flavors. And I've got to tell you, I'm not a huge fan from personal taste of mint in my sort of savory dishes, but this one blew me out of the water. You know, and folks, you know, if you like a little bit more mint, you can always add a little bit more. If you find it a little strong, you can always add a little bit less. But I always recommend, you know, follow and get on cardiochef.com, subscribe to the newsletter. You're going to get what the program's about ahead of time, and that includes, you know, chef's recipes here, so you can kind of scout it out and play with it a little bit. But always follow that recipe, that basic recipe to start. And then once you've mastered that, then you can start to vary it with. And one of the other things that I love of this recipe right here is lamb. Because I get a lot of grief. Folks are saying, you know, lamb, it's red meat. It's not healthy. But in fact, actually, and you'd appreciate this because, you know, when you go to the farmer's market or when you get those purveyors who are doing the organic, it's pastured, it's grass-fed, it's humanely treated. What we find on a landmark study that came out just a few weeks ago was that the composition of the fats and the types of fats in meat that is raised and processed that way versus the industrial is completely different. This stuff is full of those really healthful omega-3s, which is why your cardiologist, your family doctor is telling you to eat salmon. And, you know, here you can get it in just a beautiful, delicious dish, you know, made with lamb.
And I've seen you do a numerous amount of recipes with lamb, so I knew you loved it. I knew we were going to...
Oh, I do,
this
I
would
do.
Be,
you know me too well.
It's one of those meats that when, you know, just by itself, salt, pepper, grilled, you're done. You don't need anything else. Just brings so much more flavor. But one of the things that inspired me to kind of go in this direction, use mint. I'm the same way you are. I'm not, for some reason, mint in certain things just doesn't work for me. I'll do it in a dressing for a salad as long as it's balanced with like basil or whatever. So a little mint goes a long way for me. But so the idea of the old lamb with the mint jelly thing just never worked. I never understood it. Never felt right about it. Never happened in my world. But I started bringing it in.
The mint here is great, and you balanced it perfectly. I mean, you got enough right here that, you know, lamb is very rich in healthful fats, but it is, you know, a juicy kind of fatty meat. And the way you put this together, that mint just kind of balances that richness and cuts through it, kind of like a, you know, a good acidic, you know, wine would do the same thing.
Exactly. And hey, this recipe,
you want to walk us through the recipe?
Yeah, this recipe is three different parts that become part of the recipe. First, we start with rack of lamb. Now, like you say all the time, if you could get an organic product, it's always going to be better. I go local first. I always think local first. And luckily, in the Northeast, we have some beautiful organic, well, not organic, but local lamb farmers, and I get some beautiful rack of lamb from the area, all grass-fed as well. If you can, look for an organic. Look for the best quality product you can, because that lets you do the least amount of work, and it's the best for you. So I'll get a rack of lamb.
And the best flavor.
And that's it. It all comes out that way. A 6 to 8 point rack of lamb, they usually come to about 8 points. And then we make a marinade for it real quick. A cup of mint leaf, clove of chopped garlic, teaspoon of red wine vinegar, a pinch of sugar, you could omit it if you want, but it's really there. 2 tablespoons of olive oil. Then you kind of mash that together, almost like a paste, till it forms a paste, and you're going to coat the lamb with the mint paste and marinate for about 15 minutes. And you do that in a food processor. It forms a great paste. You could use it for just about anything.
Chef, you can let this marinate overnight too, right?
So
you can
do this without a doubt. Yeah, again,
and it'll pick up a little bit more flavor.
The longer you marinate something, the better. If you're going to try to do it quick, you just coat it for a couple of minutes, 15 minutes minimum. But if you leave it overnight, it's going to soak in that flavor, and the lamb's just going to open up and really take it on. It's absolutely beautiful. So that part, roasting the lamb, is simple. There are a lot of different variations on cooking. Sometimes some people will say you want to sear it first, then roast it. But 20 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes gives you that medium rare. Well, 20 minutes for rare, 25 minutes for medium rare. And then you remove it from the oven and allow it to sit. I also like to talk about here is that we all talk about resting after you cook meat. I like to talk about resting before you cook meat, too. And I think this is important. Don't ever go from the refrigerator right to the oven. It's just going to seize up on you. What I like to do is pull it out. The same amount of time I would rest it on the other side, I'll even do maybe double that amount of time before I cook. So 15, 20 minutes out of the refrigerator, even a little bit more. It's not going to hurt it. It's not going to put you in any danger zone. But the meat will come down in temperature. It'll kind of rest and get ready to get heated. It's closer to the cooking temp. And then you rest it on the other side where the juices now come back into the meat. I think it's important on both sides.
I think that is a great tip. And, you know, it's one of the little things that you can do because, you know, folks recipe, you know, they've been to Luca's Mediterranean, you know, restaurant. They've had this incredible meal. They steal your recipe when I hand it out. And then they go home and they're like, you know, it just wasn't quite as good. And it's these little sort of tips and tricks like you talk about resting that are really the things that make the difference. And one other thing that I wanted to share was carryover heat. Now, under no circumstance, I think it's a crime to serve lamb any more than medium personally, or really sort of any red
meat. Totally understand that one. Yeah.
And you know, everybody's oven's a little bit different, or if you're putting it on the grill to grill it, you know, I like to pull my lamb at about 140. And then, as you said, as you let it rest, once you take it off the heat, it's got all this internal heat. So the meat's going to continue to cook. And that's why you have to let it rest, because if you cut it right away, all the juices run out, it's dry. And you've got to let it kind of pull that back in.
And you're going to get another 5 or 10 degrees after cooking.
Exactly. So if you're looking at 145, you know, for a medium rare-ish lamb, then, you know, I always pull it about 140. And as you let it rest, as you said, you're going to get another 5-8 degrees. And that's one of the, I think, a tip I never really see anybody talk about a whole lot on cooking shows or when they're giving demos. But it's incredibly important because folks pull it out, you know, the oven at the temperature it's supposed to be, say 145, and then they go, well, my meat's overcooked. And they don't realize carryover is incredibly important.
And that goes for lamb in the small amount. And when you talk about roast on the bigger level, which we'll do a show on roast someday, when you talk about on the bigger level, well, you're letting it rest 20, 25 minutes, a half hour after you cooked it, the amount of time, amount of cooking that happens after is incredible and could almost ruin what you're making. So it's a real great point.
Absolutely.
Mike. I'm glad you did that. So we're making the lamb. So we've pulled the lamb. We've made this beautiful creation. You know, you have the mint kind of popping. The vinegar gives it the acidity. We talk about cutting through with the acidity. We do it all every week, it seems like, and that's really important. And then it's a sweet pea puree. We're basically, now you need more than the peas. You want to have some substance to it. So in this case, I'm taking new potatoes. You could take any type of potatoes. I just like young new potatoes. Again, you can buy locally. A cup of fresh peas, and a pinch, and I feel like I'm being sacrilegious here talking about it, but frozen peas could sometimes come into play if you really need to. But if you can find fresh peas, you're going to see a huge difference in color and flavor and texture when you're all the way through.
I agree with you. Frozen peas, I think, are one of the very few sort of frozen substitutes that are acceptable. And one of the reasons is when they take the peas and they freeze them like that, it actually stops the enzyme that converts the sugars into starch. So right. When you get fresh peas, you don't want fresh peas that have been sitting there for a week, because what will happen to those sweet peas is that the sugars, the natural sugars in the plant, the enzymes will start to convert it into a starch, more like a potato. And so you really want to try to get those farmers market fresh peas right off the vine. You want to pop those pods. You want to utilize them very quickly. This is not, it's not something like a potato where you're going to store it for a week or two, because it will right. really affect the flavoring and composition.
So, and that's perfect. And then with that butter, and we add some more mint leaf in this minted pea puree. We basically just boil off the potato and then add the peas, boil that till they're tender, drain and place in a food processor with butter and the mint leaf, pulse it for a short time so the mixture is smooth. You can salt and pepper at any point in this just to kind of, you know, make sure your flavors are feeling right. And then at this point, some people like to leave it a little texture. I'll push it through a strainer so it gets out really, really smooth. It comes out beautiful. It's nice. It's a rich cream that goes right underneath your lamb, acts as a sauce, but it's also part of your vegetable. You're not creating this big sauce. Nice color, and then you have the lamb, and that's where your mint is. And it might sound like there's a lot of mint going on, but there really isn't. And like you talked about it early on, it cuts through. It's an underlying flavor, and it enhances all the flavors around it. And then finally, I wanted to bring some freshness onto this. I really feel whenever you're talking about a fatty meat you go fat, creamy, you have butter, you have all this, you need to bring freshness into this. And this is the time of the year where pea shoots come out in droves. They start arriving, you know, the first couple of weeks after things are planted, and then the peas are coming out a little bit later.
They're one of my favorites, yeah.
And I will use it. I know you've mentioned it a couple of times, picking up at the farmer's market for some of the other recipes we've done. And I think if you could replace your greens with pea shoots or saute them with pasta or in anything, they make a great finish. Very, very simple. And the other thing that's now a favorite thing of mine is baby kale. I'm finding it a lot now. I don't find it very much locally, so if you don't find it locally, you could use regular kale or you could use any type of greens. And then what I do is a couple...
I got to tell you, you know what I did? Because it was like you... must have Google mapped, you know, my humble little garden spot, because I actually had, and folks, you can get these and do them in a little container. I had fresh greens and fresh baby kale. And
beautiful.
So I just went outside and, you know, trimmed off a little bit, and also combined that because I had some fresh salad greens to use, threw those in there as well. And again, this is just what I love about the way you put these recipes together, Chef, is, you know, you talk about, hey, the pea shoots, it's that seasonality. And, you know, we were meant to eat a variety of foods. And, you know, what a great way to eat with the seasons. And not only that, as we've said before, it's going to be economical because all the folks at the market
right.
who are producing, it's all coming into season together. That means competition. They can't be charging you, you know, $12 when somebody else is charging you $5 for the same stuff. So sort of those natural market forces work with the seasons, and you can get some really great bargains and get to experience those other flavors and textures. And it was just spot on. I saw this recipe. I said, well, boy, all I have to do is go outside with, you know, a pair of shears and I've got this one down.
Hey, Mike, you didn't know that I watch you on Google Maps all the time, man? I'll follow you anywhere, brother.
I was wondering what that drone was.
So the pea shoots and the baby kale, you make a simple olive oil. Now we can really get complicated about things and create a vinaigrette, and we could do this, and we could bring in mint again. I just thought that might be overkill when you talk about total flavors. But, you know, pea shoots, baby kale, make a simple broken vinaigrette, so to speak, of extra virgin olive oil and lemon juice, salt and pepper. And really, I'll tell you, this is one of my tricks in my kitchen all the time. I make extra virgin olive oil, lemon juice, hint of water, salt and pepper, and I keep it in a little squeeze bottle, and it's basically in my refrigerator all the time. So anytime I serve greens anywhere, whether it's a garnish on a plate or whether I'm throwing it onto a sandwich or I just want some greens to add whatever, whatever the greens are, arugula, the pea shoots, I'll always toss it with this little vinaigrette. And I don't believe in dry greens anywhere in on my plate. I just need it. But I don't want it also this big dressing. I don't want to bring in sugar. And I don't want to bring in all this stuff.
No.
And that just lightens everything up, brightens it up, and it just accentuates what I'm using. So that's one of those cool things you should always have.
It really does. I remember cassoulet, for those not familiar, is a very winter type stew from the southwest of France, I believe. But it's very hearty. It's got lots of sausage in it, and duck, and all sorts of beans, and it's very, very heavy, very delicious, but very, very heavy.
Yeah.
And they talked to this guy who was, I think he was 97, still walked to the market every day, and he would eat insane amounts of foie gras and cassoulet. And they said, what's your secret? He said, well, anytime you have cassoulet, I always have a salad. So back to exactly what you were saying, he balanced it out. It's like, I have a glass of wine, again, that healthful Mediterranean approach, but cutting the heaviness and the richness of one dish and balancing it out with another. And I think that's something too that we lose. People look and they say, oh, there's lamb. Well, red meat, not healthy. But look how we're balancing it out. We're controlling the portions. These chops, it's actually not a huge serving of red meat if you're concerned about that. But you're getting a great flavor experience. And part of what helps us control the portions of what we eat is fat. These types of fats actually help our body say, hey, we've had enough to eat. We're very satisfied. You walk away from the table feeling great. You don't feel bloated, and you're giving your body all the nutrition, and you're giving your soul all the joy from just a really great meal. But it's the whole meal. We eat food. We don't eat RDAs. We don't eat vitamin A.
Right.
We eat all this food together. And we need to understand, which I think you do so very well, that when you construct a meal, it's like a movie, right? You got a star, but you got to have a supporting cast and a story. It's just as important.
Well, I mentioned to you before about the fact that, to me, lamb by itself with salt and pepper on the grill is delicious. But it's so one-dimensional. Once you bring in all these other flavors around it, you have you like you said, you have a movie, you have an Oscar-winning, award-winning directed movie that people will go, wow, and it's going to create an experience that is unbelievable. So you're getting all these great nutrients, which I'm finding out more every day about through you. But what's fun is that you're eating, and you'll want to eat like this all the time if it's always going to taste like this. So that's what I'm hoping we're sharing.
And I think, and I'll share with folks, one of the dangers of eating this delicious food is that once you get on this and your body gets used to it and you're feeling great because you're eating this delicious food, so you're emotionally, spiritually satisfied, you're actually feeling physically great because you're eating real food. The downside is it's like flying first class on that Seinfeld episode, man. You can't go back behind the curtain. You won't be able to go through the drive-thru. You go through the drive-thru, you're gonna get physically ill. And
exactly.
I think, Chef, if we accomplish that, that may not be a bad idea.
If we could change one person every time we do the show to eat like this, man, I think we're gonna make the world a better place.
And so real quick, Luca, where can folks find you and some of all the stuff you carry at the store, for them to check out?
Well, I'm in Keene, New Hampshire. I have a restaurant and a gourmet store. And you can find me online at www.lucaparis.com. It has links to everything I do. And get in touch with me. If you have some questions, feel free to email me. It'll be great.
And check us out at cardiochef.com. Thanks, Chef. Appreciate it. See you next week.